Hello, everyone. It's Joe Overby again from the Auto Remarketing Podcast. Up next in our Used Car Week series of podcasts, we've got a panel discussion that was one of my favorite ones because I got to moderate it with my partner in crime, Nick Zulovich. And we talked with several folks who are kind of leading the innovation and disruption space on the wholesale and used car side of the market. We had a panel called Innovators, the Next Generation of Used Cars. So give a listen and hope you learned as much as we did.
Once again, good morning, everyone. We welcome you back in as we continue with Used Car Week and our next segment, our Innovators Panel. Very excited to have a great group of gentlemen on the stage with us this morning. And Nick Zulovich and Joe Overby from our editorial team will be moderating this from the field. So we're going to have a very interesting half-hour block. This segment is sponsored by AutoVen, and I'd like to ask you to put your hands together and welcome from AutoVen, Richard Carpentier, to say a few words. Richard.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Bill, for allowing us to be sponsoring this panel. It's fourth year already that we've sponsored this panel, and it's great to be here. One reason why we sponsor this panel is that we do believe that innovation is very important for any industries. Innovation impacts what and how we do things, but it should never impact why we do what we do. I look back at 23 years ago when I joined this industry and started doing inspections, and we were doing inspections on paper, 35 millimeter photos, stapling them, mailing them, sending them out to our client. And then technology came, starting to do inspections on handhelds and sending them electronically. And then now we have a technology that allows dealers and lessees to do inspections on their own, on their phone. Why you provide a service will survive regardless of the new technology that will come our way. This is why at AutoVen we invest a lot on our people and in our technology. And we do this to build trust with our partners and to provide the best possible customer experience. This is why we exist at AutoVen, regardless if we do a CR on paper, online, or individuals using technology to complete it. No matter what innovation brings our way, for me, it's about building trust and building long-time relationship that fuels the industry that we love. Bill, thank you for allowing us to be here and enjoy the panel. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. And we'll get this panel started by having each of you introduce yourself and your company. And Kane, we'll start with you.
Great. Well, first and foremost, thank you and your team, Joe, and all of our sponsors for putting on, I thought, was a great week, and will continue to be a great week. I thought a lot of just informative information, good topic. So thanks for all the work you guys have done. My name is Kane Grau. I'm president of Data as a Service within Car Auction Services. It's a relatively new area within car. I was a co-founder of a company called Driven. We were acquired in April of 2017, and that was sort of the impetus to then really kind of look at data much differently within car. So basically anything that's really a data-based business within car sort of rolls up into Data as a Service. So we have our InstaVin product, our AutoNeek product, and then the Driven product. And I'll probably talk a little bit more about Driven later.
Good morning, Brooke Stewart from Bridgecrest Acceptance Corp. Have to remember which company I'm representing today. Been with the company about 13 years. I run all of our loss mitigation department. And to second what Kane said, thanks for putting this great event on for us.
Thanks, Joe. George Shimon from ACV Auctions. My background was I started a company 20 years ago that powers innovative areas like TV Everywhere, which brought video to mobile devices. And I had a really good career. And then three young entrepreneurs pitched me on ACV Auctions. I decided to write a check and early on become an angel investor, and then came on as CEO a few years ago. And it's been a really amazing journey, great sector. So I'll really high level, ACV Auctions is a 20-minute digital auction where we are helping consignors launch their vehicles to dealers around the country. So thanks.
Hi, everybody. Bob McConkey. And about a month ago, I was sitting with Bill at a meeting, and he was talking about this conference. And he threw me up here in the middle of an innovation. So thanks, Bill. But I represent the auction industry, and I represent the segment of the auction industry that we call the independent auctions. And my role with our company, we have three auto auctions, one in the Midwest in Kansas City and two in the Northwest, and then I have a role as the chairman of the board of a company called Auction Edge, which really powers the heartbeat and the lungs and the bloodstream of the independent auctions for the most part in terms of core technologies that service the independent auctions. And I'm thrilled to be a part of this group. I respect everything that is going on within the industry. I think as I represent the core auction business, and I think the core auction business is really maintains its position because of its innovation. And it's not groundbreaking innovation, world-changing innovation, but it's constant. And so that's what I think I bring to this. And I appreciate, Bill, the invite. In all sincerity, I appreciate the invite and being a part of this today. Thank you.
Great. Good morning. Thank you, Joe, and everyone for being here. My name is Jim Williams. I lead the logistics business for Cox Automotive in Mannheim, based right here in Phoenix, beautiful Phoenix. Hopefully you're enjoying your time here. The weather's perfect. So I've been with Cox for 5 years, and just recently in the logistics role, so I know my team and I move a number of cars for probably many of you in the room. And we love doing that. And I guess when I was invited to this, I was really excited because I think many of us are being impacted by innovation and disruption in the transportation and movement of things in our lives. So when I was invited to this panel, it felt like a great opportunity to share some perspective on that and be part of such a distinguished group. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you, each of you, for being here as well. And given that each of you, as you just shared, kind of represent a different piece of the wholesale, you know, ecosystem, if you will, you know, we have a lot of talk, you know, in the mainstream press and even in our publication of about how innovation and particularly things like mobility impact sort of the retail consumer-facing side, right? The subscriptions and car sharing and things of that nature. But obviously, there's some play in there for the wholesale side. So, Jim, we'll start with you on this one, and if you guys want to chime in as well, where do you see your particular slice of the industry kind of having a play in mobility?
Well, I mean, the good news for us is we're already working with and partnering with some of the disruptive companies out there, Uber, Lyft, others, some of the subscription services that many are coming to market with, Ford, BMW, and others. And so we're kind of in the center of that bullseye. And interestingly enough, regardless of which business it is, the car's got to get where the car's got to get. And, you know, so for a business that's been done for many, many, many years, to see us kind of in the center of this transformation, if you will, of how people consume transportation has been really interesting. So, you know, again, we serve and support those clients I mentioned, and, you know, Cox Automotive just recently made an acquisition of a company that cleans cars in a really interesting gallon of water, Ride Clean is the name of the company, scenario. And I think as people consume their transportation differently and use cars, I think the average is 4% utilization out there of our vehicles. We see certainly a great opportunity to serve this kind of new way of consumption, but at the same time using our infrastructure of moving cars and people around at the same time. So it's an incredibly exciting time for us.
And Bob, how about from the physical auction perspective? I mean, is there an opportunity then?
Yeah, I think it's not even theoretical. I think it's happening. You know, the folks that are supporting the ride sharing business are already in a position where the cars are aging and the cars are turning, and the auto auctions, I think, you know, we're a services for fee business, and we have a lot more at these facilities beyond the lanes that sell the cars, and a lot of it is wrapped around reconditioning. And these vehicles, even in midlife, The reconditioning aspect that the auctions bring is already attracting the mobility industry to the auctions, in essence, to provide the services, whether, hey, this one got wrecked, it's time to get it out, let's sell it, or, you know, we need an oil change, or, you know, it just needs to be cleaned. And then, at the end of that life cycle, the car needs to be sold and redistributed back into the marketplace. And so it's not theoretical for the auctions. The auctions are in it right now, paying attention to it, and I think we can capitalize on it. I think it's a good move for us.
Yeah, I think it's the same. Our point of view is similar. We're all benefiting from vehicles being sold and distributed in different ways. I think the advent of mobility being the phone on the wholesale side is good for all of us because really these vehicles all have a life no different than the content industry had a life, right? You kind of get a first view of a vehicle, a second view of a vehicle. This is just another slice of the pie. And we're enjoying some new customers who are selling on our platform that we're distributing their distributing their vehicles in a new way, if you would. And now it's just easier for all of us to take a car, whether it's been used for a month, a year, 2 years, whatever it is, and then that car's gotta go somewhere. And now we're here as an industry to help make sure that vehicle goes in the right hands.
Very good. Well, continuing on the conversation, Kane, we'll continue with you, and then Brooks, your perspective as well. Obviously, software, we'll discuss that element as well, but just on a personal level, just before coming out here, my family, we had to upgrade our phones because we leveraged the previous piece of technology as much as we possibly could. From a hardware perspective, how is it being handled either within your shop or what you're hearing from clients as far as how they can keep up with the hardware that's necessary to take advantage of all the capabilities that up-and-coming technology can provide? Kane, if you could touch on that, and Brooks, your perspective as well.
I mean, I'm probably the most least qualified to talk about hardware, but in the sense that I do have a background as, you know, spending a lot of years in technology, and I think what has been really interesting from a macro perspective is, and I was looking at the question, is 15 years ago, I helped start a company called eToys.com, and we had, at the height, probably 10 million unique visitors a month. We also had 20 data centers, 10 in Herndon and 10 in San Jose, that were costing us probably $10 million a month, I don't know. But if you looked at the disk storage, which was the size of a double Sub-Zero refrigerator that was 250 gigabytes, you can buy that same drive at Office Depot on a thumb drive, right? So if you think of the advancements in the sense of technology and hardware, but what it's really doing, and this is what scares me, honestly, as even an entrepreneur, is the two guys in the garage that can go get spin up an Amazon instance in 1 hour, have a company launched in the next hour, and be a threat within 1 year. That's real. I mean, that is absolutely real. And it's real across our sector, and it's real across every other sector. I live in a building in Chicago with, you know, a bunch of different startups, and we watch this happen every single day. And we watch a lot of funding and a lot of money go to these companies. But I mean, as George was saying earlier, though, the cell phone, the power of the cell phone, not just the computing power, forget that. It's really what we're doing with it every single day. That's where I find just the advancements in what we're doing with mobility, what we're watching on our phones, and what we can take advantage of to, I say disrupt the sector, but I mean disrupt in a good way.
And Brooks, from your perspective, having the horsepower to handle collections, to keep up with regulatory demands as well.
Yeah, we're a company, and like most finance companies, we're built on legacy systems, and these are legacy systems that have been around for years. And we still run off the old AS/400 like a lot of companies in the room do. And the big thing for us to try to learn is how to communicate with our customers. You look 10 years ago, everybody had a landline. Today, somebody goes and buys a car, they have one phone number, they don't have six. How do you communicate with them? When you get into the regulatory environment, did you ask for the right permissions? Can you text them? Can you email them? And what is your contact strategy going to be in the future from what it is today? And is that a
non-contact strategy with a actual person talking to them? Is it a bot that is developing the right time to call that person? Many of these different things that we're investing in 2018, 2019, to move our company into the next future with the mobility piece.
And George, we'll go with you for this next question. We've just got a few more weeks left in the year. I can't believe I'm saying that, but what's some of the tech-related developments in specifically the wholesale market that you're gonna kind of want to keep an eye on in 2019?
Sure. So I think that if we fast forward to the end of 2019, the two that we're paying a lot of attention with and having a lot of fun with is there's a broad war going on right now, as we all know, between Amazon, Google, and Salesforce as it relates to our artificial intelligence and cloud computing. And we all have the benefit collectively from that war, because what we all can build on is just unbelievable. I mean, we've only got a handful of data scientists in our company right now, but even with a handful of folks, the amount you can build right now compared to even just a year ago, it's just unbelievable. And the advancements we can all come out with weekly, so we all will benefit from that war, because they're all gonna spend billions and billions of dollars in this infrastructure. And then we just need to make sure that we can all leverage their capabilities the right way. So you'll see a lot of advancements in technology, such as Kubernetes and other areas, allows you to use each one in where they're best. So you'll see a lot of advancements. So it does hit wholesale, because then what is the value of a vehicle? What is the value of all the things we're doing? We're all gonna have a lot more computing. And then the second area is just the advancements on the condition report. All of us, several of us here in the room, are gonna be spending, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on advancing how do we do the appropriate condition report that then derives the appropriate values on a vehicle. And with the level of investment we're all making, which I think is good in the day for the consignors and the dealers, because we'll all be competing to create the most trusted analytics, that the industry will benefit from that.
Bob, given that your background with Auction Edge as well, what from that side of the business, what are you guys watching in terms of sort of the software developments in wholesale?
Well, I told George before we started, when I looked at that question, I said, well, what I'm really doing is I'm watching you in 2019, because the industry, it's constantly in this evolutionary state, and we call it disruption. We call it a lot of things. The core auctions still are in a position where they do the vast majority of the volume that everybody in this room depends on. And what we look at is the auction business and the way the auction business evolves. And I think that the way we evolve the auction business is by paying really, really close attention to the habits of the dealers and what drives the dealer. And there's a lot of analytics in what is driving the dealer's decision, and we're paying close attention to that, and then we're trying to bring that back and understand how we can be in support of them, because we have to look at what the dealer is looking down the road at, and we have to serve their current reality. And their current reality, they're fighting for a buck every day. They're basically given a lot of different choices. I think there's confusion around those choices. And for us as an industry where we have strong partnerships with the dealers, part of our job is to not be defensive, but to help to clarify what those options are and how we can be a service to them. And so that's really what I think 2019 and beyond is about, is looking at what drives a dealer. I was having a conversation this morning about the dealers. They have a hard life. They spend a lot of time in the dealership, and there was conversation that has gone on about, in lane, upstream. We're all looking at getting a piece of that. It's a fragmented market that everybody understands is important, and important to the consigners, important to the dealers. But at the end of the day, the dealers have a choice, and they choose to go to the auction. They still choose to go to the auction in big numbers, and I think that a lot of that is driven by the fact that we're all social creatures. Whether you love to go to church or you love to be a gang member, you want to be a part of a community. And there's a lot of it in between. There's the Elks Club, there's everything. But community is core to human nature. And the auto auctions provide a community. They provide a break from the I don't want to call it monotony, but you can call it that in terms of the grind of the dealership. And so we try to capitalize on that and give them, drive them to the lanes or to the internet, drive them to where they think they need to be, and then give them a really good experience once they get there. And that's what the auction business is about going forward, is about the customer experience. And what the customer experience is going to evolve.
Jim?
You know, I think one of the things I've been so interested in is how these technologies meet people where they are. And, you know, what we find, or I'm finding in the transportation space, is supply chain infrastructure wins. I mean, if you look at Amazon's heft, you look at Walmart. You know, how did Walmart defend itself against a player like Amazon? And it's the health and robustness of its supply chain. And for us, as a logistics service provider, we have to play in that space and invest in technologies and partnerships with technologies that are in that are cutting edge and that allow for very easy API integrations that let us connect in with our clients, with our carriers, who are really, you know, for us, the center of our universe, right? I mean, if we drive carrier success, we believe we're gonna drive success for the whole supply chain, at least on the finished vehicle front. And, you know, from my perspective, these investments and our willingness to look beyond maybe what's been possible before and really stretch ourselves, be curious, be vulnerable to the changes that are happening amongst us, and create cultures where the teams that are gonna be impacted by this, whether it's robotics, whether it's, you know, systems and software, AI, some of these amazing technologies that some might think are gonna take roles, I think it just changes the nature of what people do and how they do it. And that's an incredibly exciting time to be in. So, you know, for us, again, in a business that's been kind of done the same way for a really long time, let's make sure we load up a truck and drive from efficiencies and so on. I think, for us, it's about not only knowing where cars are, but it's gathering the insights of what that means well downstream. And I do think that some in the consumer-facing sector have done that incredibly well, and I think we can learn a lot from it.
Well, certainly, as Bob referenced, we are very much a community here, and certainly Joe and I do not want to commandeer the privilege of asking questions of these thought leaders. So if you do have an inquiry, please raise your hand, and we'll be sure to get to you as well during our conversation. But to continuing on to the look ahead toward 2019, Brooks, we'll continue with you, and then Kane, the opportunity as well. Just what's exciting you about the new year ahead, either within your shop or within the greater landscape of auto financing or the auto industry in general? Brooks, and then Kane.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
I appreciate what Bob said. Is the auction is a core that you know, there's a community there, and I personally appreciate that and what community we have. Some of the things that we're looking for, and I'm going to put my drive time hat on for a second. We've created some technology in the past year and a half with a mobile app for our buyers in the field, and we're able to give them real-time information on what we need to buy and supply chain and those different things that allow us to be more efficient throughout the country and be much more flexible than just with 50 guys running around or ladies running around the country buying cars, that we know what we're buying from New York City all the way to Los Angeles, and to make sure that our supply chain is real time in what is needed. So we've spent about 3.5 years investing in that technology, and it went live this year. And the Avionic app that some of you guys might have read about that in the automotive news earlier in the year, what that has done for drive time and efficiencies. We're looking at that on the finance side also, and how we save time. And a theme for me for 2019, I wish it was 2017, sorry. I want to go backwards. 2019 is time. And if we can save a day or 2 days as a finance company from the time that car's repoed till the time it's liquidated, there's a dollar of value attached to every day. And we can maximize on those with our partnerships with the auctions and with our transport partners, and getting finance companies to be more involved in those relationships with transporters and repo agents and auctions, and pushing for that technology across all segments that allows us to save time, days, and manpower, and ultimately that's money.
Kane, where do you see future opportunity?
So I've been thinking about this and 100 things with regards to car, but being selfish, I would say data. And I talked about this at the Auto Intel conference around, you know, data is the new oil, right? If you can extract it, you can refine it, you can utilize it, you're gonna win. And I'm thinking about car in the sense of, if you really think of the breadth of what is in our portfolio, we have dominant market share at the commercial seller side. We have 250 plus auction locations with IAA and ADESA. And then we get 3.5 million retail listings, which a lot of people don't know, every day. We take all that data. What we can do is we can have really, really intelligent conversations with our commercial sellers and explaining to them what is actually happening in market. Who's brand aligned? Who's not brand aligned? How are these cars moving? The cars that are coming back from maturity, where do they belong? That's being a good partner, but we're doing that at the dealer level as well. We're going to dealerships and we're talking about lot optimization. We're talking about why are they not buying more cars at the commercial level that fit their lot. And, you know, a lot of questions are there's too many coming back. I don't know how to do it. So we created a recommendation email and we say, instead of looking at 26,000 cars, you're gonna look at these three. And these three are the best for your lot because we've looked at your market, we've looked at your lot. And that's really exciting because that's new and that's innovative and that helps them stay in the dealership but still use the auction to their advantage. And then we're helping the employee. We're making the employee more informed, more intelligent. When they make a phone call to the dealer, they're at the auction, we want them to be, you know, so educated on what's happening with data that the people ask them to come to their lot or they ask them to set up a meeting to say, hey, tell me more. So the things we've been doing with data, and then I can go into computer vision and I can go into a lot of different things we're doing with predictive, but the stuff that we're doing with data and how we can syndicate that to TradeRev, to Autoneek, to Stratum, all these recent acquisitions that we've made in the last 2 years, that's powerful. And that's where I think we can, like I said, we can help a lot of different parties within the ecosystem.
Well, we do still have a few minutes left. If there are any questions from our audience that you'd like to ask our panelists. Do I see any back there? Well, guys, thank you. Thank you again for the time today. And just a housekeeping note. We're going to have a 15-minute break, or I'm sorry, extended networking break, a 30-minute networking break in the Expo Hall. It's going to be sponsored by J.D. Power. We'll be back in here at 11:30 for the national panel, a full picture view of the auto industry. But before we go, let's give these guys another round of applause. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Auto Remarketing Podcast. For Nick Zulovich and our entire auto remarketing crew, my name is Joe Overby, and we'll catch you next time.